This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
Good afternoon, this is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and at kpfk.org. Stay tuned now for a special 90-minute extended version of the broadcast with Brad Friedman. He is coming up next.
Do, there's no getting around it. Hey, welcome to a special 90-minute extended edition of the Bradcast. This week right here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM San Diego, and 99.5 Ridgecrest China Lake, and of course, coast to coast. And around the globe, through exploding through 110,000 blazing kilowatts, megawatts? I don't know. Out there in the air, across the air, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe on KPFK.org. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, all around swell fellow, as I like to say each and every week. Yes, I'm the guy from bradblog.com, once again drafted into duty to be the broadcast media this week. Glad you could join us for the special extended edition. Big show coming up for you today. In the next hour, we're going to have an interesting, I hope, we'll see, theoretically, an interesting conversation between a fellow by the name of D.R. Tucker, who writes for From Forum. That's David Frum's website. David Frum was George W. Bush's former speechwriter, the fella who wrote the Axis of Evil speech. DR writes over there. He's a conservative. He's a libertarian. And he wrote a very interesting article a couple of weeks ago called Confessions of a Climate Change Convert. That's right. This D.R. Tucker is one of these rare creatures who is a right-winger, a conservative, libertarian, who actually begins the article that he wrote, his confessions, by saying, "I was defeated by facts." Well, isn't that interesting? And so we're going to talk to him about his conversion, about his confession, about the fact that guys like this just don't really exist in what has become the Republican world, Republican orthodoxy, which is so different from just 2 years ago. You remember John McCain and Sarah Palin were calling for cap and trade. But 2 years is a long time. Things have changed. And, of course, in the Republican Party, you've got to bow and kiss the feet of Rush Limbaugh and the Chamber of Commerce and all of the other liars and propagandists out there who are claiming that climate change is a hoax and it's been outed and Climategate is a scandal. And, fake scandal, of course, not a hoax at all. A very serious issue, of course, if you look at all the tornadoes, the flooding, the droughts, everything else going on in this country. I would say climate change is anything but a hoax, but, you know, you may or may not agree. We'll see. D.R. Tucker does not agree. He does not think it's a hoax. He, as I say, is a conservative, and we're also going to be joined, along with D.R., by David Roberts, one of my favorite reporters over at grist.org, a great environmental reporter and journalist. He responded to D.R. Tucker's column with a column of his own, an open letter, if you will, to a conservative climate change convert. And he reached out and said, well, you know, here are some things that may be some common ground that we can find. And I realize, of course, on radio, especially AM radio, you're not supposed to find common ground. You're supposed to disagree. Everybody's supposed to hate each other and be furious, and that's good radio, right? Well, maybe so. But instead of that, instead of the good radio, what we're going to do is something rather unusual and try and see if we can find common ground between right and left on climate change. That's coming up in the next hour, so you're going to want to stick around for that. I think it's going to be a really interesting discussion. What I want to do now in this hour, this first half hour, is something that I have been dying to do for weeks and weeks and months ever since I've been appearing here at 3:30 Wednesday afternoon on the West Coast on KPFK, which is to open the phone lines to you, to we, the people, here on your public airwaves. And I talk about this all the time. I talk about the corporate stranglehold that exists right now on the airwaves, and how KPFK is a bastion, is one of the few places, perhaps one of the only places, where the people actually control the people's airwaves. To that end, because I'm only here for a half hour each week, haven't had time to open up the phone lines. I would love to do that now, and I'll just go over the cliff here by saying, we can talk about any damn thing you want to. Give us a call at 818-985-5735. Among the things that we have talked about over the past few weeks that you might want to get your thoughts out on the airwaves or your questions to me about, certainly we've been talking over the last several weeks about that recount in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Supreme Court recount where you found thousands and thousands of ballots in open ballot bags, in ripped ballot bags, poll tapes that didn't make that didn't match up. This recount, which in the end was, frankly, a joke, but it did expose the problems with the election system in Wisconsin and, of course, elsewhere around the country where they use similar systems, op-scan systems, to count votes or to tally votes, to theoretically count them. You know, we found thousands of inaccuracies, and yet the challenger in that race, Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg, ended up conceding despite what she described as a cascade of irregularities that were found during the recount. That was a very serious issue because it was for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is currently split 4-3 in favor of Republican appointees. That Republican incumbent was David Prosser, a hard right partisan, despite the fact that he claims to be a judicial independent. He is anything but. But he has apparently now won, and so he will continue to serve for 10 more years on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And last night, what do you know? The Wisconsin Supreme Court came out with their decision on Governor Scott Walker's union stripping measure, the measure that takes rights from citizens, that legislates away their rights, the right to collective bargaining in public unions. That case went all the way to the Supreme Court, where David Prosser sits. And what do you know? It was a 4-3 decision backing the Republican governor. That law, that legislation is now law in the state of Wisconsin. And David Prosser actually put out his own concurring opinion, which was, frankly, really obnoxious and made clear what a partisan that guy is. The law will still be challenged, I suspect. Some other people will be filing suit against it. Coming up in a few weeks, we're going to see recall elections in the state of Wisconsin for six Republican state senators and three Democratic state senators. And they are going to be using the same crappy election system that they used in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Fun, huh? One of those elections is on July 19th, which is my birthday. That's a great birthday gift for me. So if you'd like to talk about that, we'd love to hear from you. 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Last week, we also talked about Clarence Thomas and the judicial insider trading that he appears to have done in regard to this, that he and his wife appears to have done in regard to the Citizens United decision, where his wife, Jenny Thomas, made what appears to be hundreds of thousands of dollars based on that Citizens United decision, and the idea that 20 years ago, and this is something that people don't seem to understand because it hasn't been reported, 20 years ago, when he was being confirmed in 1991 in the Senate, a little startup group, a little startup organization by the name of Citizens United spent about $100,000 on ads attacking the senators who were opposing Clarence Thomas. That was 20 years ago. 20 years later, did Clarence Thomas bother to recuse himself when Citizens United, his old pals from 20 years ago, when they showed up in a court decision in front of Clarence Thomas? Of course he did not, because he doesn't believe in that sort of thing. Did he disclose that 20 years later? Of course not, because he doesn't believe in disclosure. In fact, for the last 20 years, as we have reported on this program, Clarence Thomas committed a crime by falsifying his disclosure forms that he would turn in each year and not including his spouse's income from a major right-wing think tank, the Heritage Foundation. Does that give you enough to talk about? I know the phones are lighting up, but let me throw you out a few more ideas if you want to get in and use your public airwaves before you lose them more than you already have. You can call us at 818-985-5735. Mitt Romney appears to have committed voter fraud in the state of Massachusetts. So says GOP presidential candidate Fred Karger, who has filed an official complaint Monday in Massachusetts, claiming that Mitt Romney, the presumptive frontrunner for the 2012 presidential candidacy, Republican nomination, that he doesn't really live in Massachusetts. The evidence does seem to be on Fred Karger's side in this matter. Mitt Romney actually sold his Massachusetts mansion some years ago, bought a $12.5 million. Do I have it here? Do I have the exact numbers? I think it was $12.5 million home out here in La Jolla, California in May of 2008. He also bought a vacation cabin up in New Hampshire, a $10 million vacation cabin up in New Hampshire. As far as Massachusetts go, the guy scrammed. The guy left, yet he kept his voter registration in his son's basement. I ain't kidding you. The basement of his son's mansion. That is where Mitt Romney has been registered to vote for the past several years, despite not living there and despite the very clear rules, very clear laws in Massachusetts that say that fraudulent voter registration in the state carries a penalty of $10,000, up to 5 years in jail. And the law is very clear about residency requirements needed to vote in the state. The state defines residency as, quote, where a person dwells and which is the center of his domestic, social, and civic life. Now, Fred Karger, the GOP presidential candidate himself, the first openly gay presidential candidate, by the way, began investigating Mitt Romney to determine where he dwells and what is the center of his domestic, social, and civil life. And he has found that it doesn't seem to be in Massachusetts, because nobody out there in Belmont, Massachusetts, has seen Mitt Romney for years. Now, is this a big issue? Did Mitt Romney vote twice? Well, no, not as far as we know. You know, he didn't vote in two different states. But given the fact that Republicans are currently on a jihad across this nation in state after state to institute voter suppression laws, photo ID restrictions at the polling place for no other reason other than they know it will tend to disenfranchise Democratic-leaning voters, elderly voters, student voters, minority voters, urban-dwelling voters, those voters, some 20 million legal American voters who do not have the type of photo ID they're now requiring. Those laws are being passed in state after state under the premise that there is a voter fraud epidemic in this country, which, of course, is a lie. At least when it comes to voter fraud at the polling place, people impersonating others when they go to vote, it is, somebody had a great phrase for that today. I can't find it. I think they wrote that voter fraud, I think might have been Think Progress, that voter fraud at the polling place, voter impersonation at the precinct is only slightly less rare than unicorns. That is true. Voter fraud is not really a problem, certainly not at the polling place. Election fraud, on the other hand, and the ability for one person to change the results of an entire election on an electronic voting machine, oh yeah, that's a whole different concern. Not that the Republicans are concerned about it. But in any case, as the GOP is putting out these voter suppression laws across the country, you've got Mitt Romney, their presumptive presidential candidate, who appears to have committed voter fraud. Add Mitt Romney now to the list of other high-profile GOP folks like Ann Coulter, who over at bradblog.com we have demonstrated in no uncertain terms Ann Coulter committed voter fraud down in the state of Florida and most likely in Connecticut as well. Recently elected GOP Secretary of State in Indiana, Charlie White, was recently indicted on 7 felony counts, 3 of them related to voter fraud for voting in a residence where he did not live, just like Mitt Romney, just like Ann Coulter. This week also, Todd Akin, a Republican congressman who is running for Senate in Missouri, the great state of Missouri, my old home state, he too appears to have voted year after year after year at a residence where he did not live. Will any of these people actually face any accountability for voter fraud, seeing as how they're willing to disenfranchise so many millions of other Americans who didn't commit voter fraud under the premise that there's a voter fraud epidemic? Oh, yeah, and John Huntsman, speaking of Republican Mormon presidential candidates, John Huntsman also appears to have committed voter fraud, still registered for something like 2 years at the governor's mansion in Utah, even long after he had resigned and moved to China to become Barack Obama's ambassador to China. So lots to talk about. You want to talk about that or anything else on your mind? Let's hear it in the few minutes that we have left now that I've rambled on and on. I would love to hear from you. Let's go to Joshua in San Pedro. Welcome to KPFK, sir. What's on your mind? Oh, Joshua. Oh, there we go. I think I have to. See, we don't even know how to do the phones here. There we go. Do I have you now, Joshua?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you, sir? What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, first of all, this is a great political science class here. I haven't taken one in years, but I appreciate your education. You threw down so much information. I'm almost just want to take notes.
I did it. You have to take notes. I'm used to speaking fast. They only give me 30 minutes each week, so I got to jam in as much as I can.
Yeah, well, that's good stuff.
Thank you,
relating to Wisconsin and the terrible things that are happening there.
Mm-hmm.
On a happier note, yesterday there was an incredible march with the clergy and over 400 people that marched from against Vons, Ralphs, and Albertsons, and I want to just inform people to go to www.ufcw.org to find out what's going on here regarding those particular stores, which are not giving their workers proper compensation for what they're up to.
ufcw.org, very good.
Yeah, and it was very exciting. It was over 400 people. We went out to rally, and people are fired up, and we're asking people to not that these people don't want to strike, but they're going to strike if they have to. And there's plenty of farmers markets and other places to get your food. So I'm just asking people to check it out and make sure that they start becoming solidarity with the union workers throughout California and step up. I mean, most KPFK listeners know, but
Joshua, they may know, but it cannot be said enough, because the fact of the matter is, brother, look around the country, look at what is going on, look at what these Republican legislatures and governors are doing, look at how they are stripping rights from citizens. They do not consider the right to collective bargaining, the right to be in a union, they do not consider that a right. And where they can take away these rights, as I believe you know, Joshua, they will. So I do think it's important. UFCW.org. Anything else on your mind? Because I want to try to get through as many folks as I can here.
Yeah, just we appreciate KPFK so much. It's such an important thing. And, there was a bunch of people marching. And as I drove around the city, I noticed that Ralph's parking lots were full. And so were Vons, and so were Alberts. And so let's just put the word out that it looks like there will be a strike due to this contract not coming down June 25th. And people just need to stop shopping there now. And if they do go in, tell them that, you know, they need to support the workers or there's going to be a serious walk. And it's going to change the way this whole city works. You know, everything comes through this port in San Pedro. And we've seen this port shut down in the past, and nothing got through. You know, nothing gets through when this port shuts down. So the unions are stronger than people think. People are stronger than they know they are. And we've seen waves change from Republican to Democrat in this country. But, you know, let's face it, we're all Americans. We know who we are. We're going to stand grounded and rooted. And we stand in solidarity with everyone between the African-American community, Chinese community, Mexican American community. We are rising up. We know who we are, and let's just stand firm in who we are.
Thank you, brother. Keep up the good fight. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Joshua. 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com here on KPFK. Would love to talk to you. These are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them. Let's go to Aaron in Orange County. Hey, Aaron, welcome to KPFK, sir.
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. What's on your mind, my friend?
Okay, so in the interest of common ground, you know, we got our disagreements on some things, but I think we can agree about this election fraud.
Wait, who does? Who has our disagreements? You and I have disagreements?
Yeah, you know, I'm the one that used to talk to you and Harrison. We have disagreements over WikiLeaks, but we don't have time to go into that.
Okay.
I sent you a thing where this Democratic congressman has sent to Eric Holder that he wants them to investigate the election fraud in Wisconsin. I don't know if you got that. I emailed it to you.
I think it's Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin, if I'm not mistaken. She did ask for an investigation by Eric Holder.
Of course, he's not going to do a damn thing.
No,
that's
of course not.
Where we have to get. We have to do it to Washington. They did the state house in Wisconsin. If we don't start getting activism, protesting, grabbing the media attention, boycotting, these people are going to steamroll right over us. We need to have monitors on the ground during the presidential elections. Not that Barack Obama is so good. But he's all that we've got to work with.
Well, listen, let me tell you what, Aaron. When it comes to the election and presidential election, are you kidding me? That's a year and a half away. We've got these recalls coming up in Wisconsin.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. We need monitors on the ground for that.
We need them everywhere for every election. And it's not about Barack Obama next year. It's not about any particular election at any time. It is about self-governance. It is about your democracy, and it is about overseeing that democracy, a transparent democracy, that so that you can know whoever won or lost, whether it's Obama or Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachmann, that the winner is actually the winner and the loser is actually the loser.
The only way we're going to get that done,
yeah.
A lot of these guys, these progressives, Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, all these guys are sold out or being compromised. They're not doing 60s movement activism. They know what it takes to really do change, so they shouldn't complain on the airways and just get people all demoralized where they don't even want to vote and say what to do, what the hell with it. We need activism. We need protest. We need boycott. We need to affect their bottom line in order to get this government to do what's right. Look how many protests and how many years of president it took just to end the Vietnam War. You can't vote change in the office. That's the illusion.
I hear you, brother. I got to run. I appreciate your thoughts. And, of course, I concur. 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. I was speaking with, legendary whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg earlier today. You know, it's the 40th anniversary of the Pentagon Papers, the publication of the Pentagon Papers in the New York Times. Because he had signed on to a letter this week that was written by FBI whistleblowers Colleen Rowley and Sybelle Edmonds, calling on, I believe it's five different organizations who gave Barack Obama a transparency award recently, calling on them to withdraw that award. Well, why? For one reason, this transparency award this transparency award was given to Barack Obama in a closed ceremony inside the White House. That's the transparency ceremony. And so I was talking to Ellsberg, and you know, we were talking about and he signed on to this letter with a whole bunch of whistleblowers and transparency experts to say, Mr. President, give back that award. So I was talking to Ellsberg, and you know, how ironic it is that he gets his transparency award in a closed ceremony in the White House, how he was given the Nobel Peace Prize and then went about, you know, bombing. How many countries are we bombing now? So Ellsberg suggested that perhaps the ACLU, you know, even the idea, of course, being that they're giving them to the Obama preemptively, you know, to encourage him to be peaceful, to encourage him to have transparency. So Ellsberg said maybe the ACLU ought to give him an award for shutting down Gitmo. Maybe that'll get him to actually shut down Gitmo. A couple of minutes left here before we got to go to the top of the hour. Let me get in some calls. 818-985-KPFK. Mark in Hollywood, welcome to your public airwaves, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Brad. I'd just like to say that although I do believe bin Laden was killed and captured, I do not believe it was due to 5 years of hard work by the CIA and amazing spycraft. I think bin Laden was ratted out, most probably by a mid-level Pakistani politician who wasn't getting his cut of the $3 billion a year we were paying the Pakistanis to find bin Laden.
If that's what did it, I'm glad to hear it. Now, of course, if we had put him on trial and stuff like that, that would have been even better. Thanks for the call, Mark. I'm going to try to get in one more before I have to go to a break here. Richard in Pasadena, welcome to KPFK. What's on your mind very quickly, brother?
Very quickly. Hey, you know, you were the only one that broke that Clarence Thomas thing. And I did some research on the Internet about it right afterwards.
Yep.
And literally, nobody else has carried it. It seems to me like a huge thing. I mean, somebody... A justice breaking the law like that.
Tell me about, not just a judge, a justice on the Supreme Court. Tell me about it. Yeah, it does seem to be kind of huge, don't it?
Yeah, so if you're disgruntled with the fact that major media are just ignoring it, what can you do about that? I mean, I read one place that they, you know, this was an attack on that whole Wienergate is a direct result of this investigation that Wiener was doing into this.
You know, I don't know if it was a direct result. It was certainly a distraction. Anthony Wiener was certainly talking about the problems with Clarence Thomas and his crimes and his disclosure issues before everything broke. But, yeah, what you can do, raise holy hell, Richard. Call your media. Call the radio. Write to the newspapers. Demand they cover it. Richard, I got to run because I got to take a quick break. You're listening to the special extended edition of the Bradcast. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Take a quick break and back with D.R. Tucker and David Roberts. Much more straight ahead.